So I wonder how frequently infrequent our love is toward others. Does our love
He didn't give you anything.
Fly? Does it fly or does it flop? Because if our love just does this, it doesn't reach the target. But when we set ourselves up, we can hit our target. The ultimate goal of following after Christ is to discover the profound love that He has for us and to find the target, which are other human beings, and to love beyond measure. No amen to that, huh?
Amen.
You see, God's love is an unconditional love, a love that goes far beyond what most human standards of love. And it can be hard to discover that in this messed up, crazy, busy life. Let's pray. Father, I ask God that as we read your scriptures, that your spirit will allow us to understand you more and therefore understand love. In the name of Jesus. So the sermon title this morning is
You have the slides for it? This?
Right there. This is love.
I don't know.
This is love. This is love. What is love? And if you've ever been in love, you may still wonder what love is. Because love, you know what love actually is? Did you know that love is a constant choice? Just like hate is a choice. And you may say, I don't choose to hate that person, I just hate them.
Yeah.
I've heard people say, I can't help who I fall in and out of love with. Yes, we can. Because the initial phase is often lust if it's a potential marital relationship, because that initial phase is oh, they're so attractive, oh, they're so, right? Someone said honeymoon period, but I'm talking even before that. The very beginning stage is when you look at somebody and go, wow, they're attractive, I'd like to be with them, right? And it's about that rather than it is oftentimes about actual love. And if you have your Bible, you're going to want to open to 1 John. And in 1 John, we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to talk about love, which we're going to read 27 times occurs in this text that we're about to read. So, I've told you this before, but whenever we see a word repeat itself in the scriptures, we need to pay careful attention to what that, why that word keeps repeating itself. So, all right, let's read this. 7 through 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Okay, right there. I could just stop right there. Let us love one another because love comes from God. I could conclude the sermon right now, and that's enough. Four. Oh, that says three, my bad. It's supposed to be four. Four, seven.
Flex schedule.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of the judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother and sister. Amen. There is a profound divine love that God desires us to discover and to be poured out upon us, and for us to pour that divine, beautiful, unconditional agape love upon other people. When was the last time you sensed the power of unconditional, God-centered love poured out upon you in your life personally? Some of us may say, "I don't remember when." Some of us may say, "Well, it was this morning." And prayerfully, all of us can say that we've sensed the power of God's unconditional love in our lives. It says right here in verse 10, "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Did you know that Christ came for you personally? He came for me personally. He came for us on a personal level, not at a superficial level, not at a distance, but he came personally for you and for me. So guess what? So he can show up in our lives and do a new work and atone for our sins and allow us to discover the freedom that there is in living a grace-filled, Christ-centered life. You see, God died for you and he died for me. And because he died for us, he has set the captives free. And yes, we were once captive to sin, but now we are captivated by a loving, passionate God. You see, God desires to pour his love out upon you and upon me. And a lot of times we're like, "Whatever, God, stay right over there." And we don't even know we're doing it. I am going to protect myself and shield myself from anything because I've been hurt. I've been hurt and I've had pain in my life and I need to protect, protect, protect. Maybe you fall into that category. There's three words that all of you probably can quote this verse. God is love. Has everybody heard that before? Mm-hmm. God is love. So God is love. If God is love, then he can't be hate. If God is perfect love, because perfect love casts out fears. Who has ever been fearful in their life? Every one of us has had fear in our life. But did you know that if we truly embrace Christ, that he will overflow in us so much that that fear that we have, that anxiety that we have, that his love will cast out all fear. There is no fear in love. A lot of times what we do with love is we put on the level of, okay, what kind of love have I experienced in my life? And it becomes an experiential thing rather than a legitimate God thing. You see, the love that we often experience in this life is not a perfect love, right? Because us humans aren't perfect. When was the last time you got hurt by someone that loved you? It happens, right? Unfortunately, us humans can hurt people that we love. And we do it without even acknowledging or even knowing what we have done. And then sometimes we realize and we go, oh man, I'm sorry that I did that. Well, it says in 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. Did you know when you and I, when we live in fear, did you know that it has to do with punishment? Did you know it punishes ourselves because we can't experience the freedom that God has for us? Did you know the fear that we have in us disables us and cripples us eventually and doesn't allow us to connect deeply and richly and beautifully with the God that has atoned for our sins? You see, that atonement was for all the corruption and all the junk and all the debris and all the stuff that you don't think you can receive forgiveness for. Guess what? You can and you do and you will. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Because the old is gone, because the new has come, there is now freedom. And because we have freedom, we can experience true love in this life. And the fear and anxiety and that emotional junk and debris that we deal with, we need to turn it over to God. Because it clearly says, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Because Christ died for us, rose again, he loved us so much. That's why we love. When was the last time you grabbed a hold of something so tightly that you couldn't let go, but eventually you had to let go because you couldn't hold it anymore? Have you ever had to cling on to something? It may be something that you've clung on to in your life, and it may be something physical, but it may be something intellectual. It may be something from a psychological perspective that you've clung on to most of your life, and you haven't been able to experience freedom because you've been holding on to whatever that is. And it may be fear. Did you know we can cling on to fear, and fear can become our reality in many ways, and it can hinder us from discovering this deep love that God has for us? Maybe what you've clung on to is some sin that you've wrestled with, and you keep dealing with it over and over again, and you haven't laid it at the foot of the cross, and you haven't said, God, I can't do this anymore. Here it is. Take it. I need to move on with my life and move on in you. Maybe it's a behavior pattern that you have. Maybe it's something that you can't break a habit, and you need to experience true freedom in Christ because that habit holds you back from what God has for you. And maybe you're clicking a mouse and going places you shouldn't go. Maybe you're in an inappropriate relationship. Maybe you've adopted a relationship that is toxic, and you keep going back to it because that's the routine you know. And it's hindering you from what God has for you. You heard me? It's hindering you from what God has for you. We all have things in our lives that hinder us from what God has for us. God has beautiful, profound love for us. Why do we embrace the things that hinder us? It may be something like this. A contraption that we hold on to and we click on and we keep clicking and clicking and it consumes our lives and we're with people but we're really not. Because we're in a place that is hindering us from the reality of life. And instead of talking to a human being face to face, I click on this. Oh yeah, really? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, did you say something to me? Right? Oh, let me click a little. What? Oh, on the cyberspace. Oh, wait. I'm on social media now. Oh, I'm going to keep clicking. Have you ever done that?
Never.
You know, I sat next, Stacy and I, the kids too, we went and got some food. And we sat next to a couple. I am not joking. I'm not exaggerating. I'm so serious when I say this. I sat next to this couple, and I was watching them. I watched them their whole, like, before their food came, after their food came, they were texting the whole time. The entire time. Did not say one word to one another. So at the end of their meal, I looked over and I said, now I gotta ask you a question. Were you texting to one another? And they said, yes and no. And I actually said, that's kind of sad. And they said, you know what? We never thought of that. And I said, you're sitting across from one another. It's okay to talk, just like we're talking now. I mean, this is a reality, unfortunately, that has sadly been embraced. I mean, imagine if we continue that. You know what happens? We become people that are disconnected from reality. And on top of that, what ends up happening is we become a people that are disconnected from love. And when we get disconnected and disengaged with genuine, real-life people, we cannot relate. And we cannot discover love because what happens is we are now focused on something that we can't truly experience true, genuine love. Can a phone give you a hug? Not yet, someone said. Maybe someday a phone can give you a hug. But today is not today. Some people have ringtones that say, I love you, I love you. But does your phone really love you when the ringtones sounds?
Yes.
No. It does not. Only God has empowered humans to discover unconditional agape love. Did you know you have the potential to love so beyond what you love now? Because right now our love is imperfect. But perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love brings beauty. Perfect love allows us to discover deeper love. And as we discover deeper love, we begin to understand how to love. Unfortunately, some of us have come from backgrounds where maybe our family has not shown proper love, like the true agape love. Maybe we've experienced love that is contrary to what we think love should be. And maybe we don't even really know what love looks like. And we've tried and tried in our relationships to love people, but we always have excuses why we can't go beyond the next phase of love because, oh, I need to make sure that I'm protected. Did you know you can get hurt if you love like Christ loves? Because we're human and we can feel pain. And you know what? Christ felt pain. Do you think when he's on that cross being nailed that he did not feel pain? That is love. That is unconditional, radical, beautiful love that he showed for us. A perfect person, the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate act of atonement. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he's a liar. I'm pretty sure most of us have met people that talk all about God, talk all about love, but they really don't love. Unfortunately, I've met one too many people that have claimed to follow God and have not displayed sincere, genuine love for their brothers and sisters. They're feuding with brothers and sisters in the faith. That's not love. Maybe you're one of them, and maybe I just don't know about it. I think we have a pretty loving community of faith, a community of faith that really does desire to love like God loves and be sincere and genuine. But maybe you have a grudge that you're holding against a brother or sister in the faith, and maybe a brother and sister from our faith community, and maybe one from a community elsewhere. But if you do, what you're doing is you are ruining what God can do in your life. If you hold a grudge, if you hold resentment, if you do not forgive, and I'm not saying that we have to instantly forgive everybody, but we are to forgive, and sometimes forgiveness takes a little time, right? But man, when we genuinely forgive, we begin to understand what it's like for God to forgive us. But for anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God. Did you know if you don't love your brother or sister that you can't love God? Because we see our brothers and sisters, and if we see our brothers and sisters and can't love them, how can we possibly love God? What we do is we create God and we say, okay, I can love that God because that's the God I created. No, God wants us to experience the power of his love in such radical ways that we can forgive our brothers and sisters and we can love them beyond the human definition of love, but we would radically love like Christ loved, because this is love. That's not love, but we want to say this is love. And Christ's love is profound. So we continue on, and it says, whom he has seen, and he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love their brother and sisters, right? Amen. So if you claim and proclaim to love God, if I proclaim and claim to love God, then guess what? We have got to love one another. Love God, love your neighbors. Right? The two greatest commands. And if we do that, it'll make a huge difference in our lives personally, corporately, and in the society as a whole. Do you know if this group of individuals that are gathered here today, if we truly love as Christ loves, we would make a massive impact on the people all around us. The people that maybe nobody else can reach, that you can reach. And God has designated you to be the person to connect those people to discover the radical love of Christ. Did you know you are designed to reach the people that God has placed in your life? Whether you want to believe that or not, whether you feel scared and afraid to talk to people about him, perfect love casts out fear. If you have God's love in you, there is no need to fear. There is no need to be anxious. There is no need to have strife piled on top of strife, upon grief, upon anxiety, because his love wants to be poured out powerfully upon all of us. May Christ's love overflow so powerfully in our hearts and our minds, and the cleansing purity of Christ indwell our hearts and our minds in such radical ways that we can't help but recognize that this is love. I mean, there's times in life we do miss opportunities, right? God's trying to teach us, hey, next time, show up there. Do what I'm telling you to do. Those are the life lessons that we learned, and we should not forget. You'll never forget that. Because what God is doing is saying, that's got to be heavy on your heart. When you see someone in need, go love on them. Right? Show off my love. We can show off God's love. It's all good. He wants us to love like that. Well, we got some testimonies this morning, don't we? Since we're sharing stories. So I'm playing soccer down in Kentucky. I was on my university team. We were traveling. We were up in the Ohio area. And we're venturing on our trip. And we get out of the bus and go into this convenience store. And outside, there's a couple of ladies there. And scantily dressed ladies, okay? And a guy. He didn't have a big hat on, but he was a guy. Anyway, God laid on my heart, go talk to that guy. Go share who I am with that guy. And just like what happened to you this morning, guess what? I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But you know what that did? That reshaped my entire life. Because it made me recognize the importance of doing what God calls us out to do whenever we get the opportunity. So when you find that opportunity, take it. If it's good and lovely and beautiful, do it. If you know it will help somebody to discover God, or even just because you know you're supposed to love on them, just go do it. Because God can lay something on our heart, and it may not be an audible voice, but it may be just heavy on our heart. And we may look at somebody and realize, God wants me to speak to them. Go speak. Perfect love does what? No, ready? Perfect love does what? Perfect love? Cast out fear. Perfect love?
Cast out fear.
That's not loud enough. Perfect love
casts out fear.
Casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Do not be afraid anymore. With anything in this life, do not fear, because God is with you. He will empower you to have impact on the world around you. He will enable you to be somebody that loves far beyond the love that you currently have. He will enable you to love, because there's all sorts of love in your heart and you don't even know it, because it's all corrupt in some ways, and you got to allow God to rip those corruptions away so your heart can just overflow and bubble up with love. And when people come in contact with you, they'll go, that person is really a loving, caring, compassionate person. You know what? I used to know them, and they used to be a nasty, mean, cruel person. But how did they become a loving, caring, compassionate person? Only God's love. And you may be somebody that it seems to be loving and caring and compassionate. And maybe it's an act. Or maybe you genuinely are. But God desires us to overflow with his love. And when we do, they can say, now this is love. They can point to you and me and go, this is love. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we're able to gather here. Lord, I ask, oh God, that each individual in here this morning would discover your love in such profound ways, individually and corporately, God, that there would be no doubt or no question that you are their God and Lord and Savior.